Happy Sunday and good afternoon. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, we're going to be reading to you from the Holy Bible, as well as from a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And as we do on every Sunday, as we begin with our prayer, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so very much, Lord, for many things. In fact, we thank you for all things. We thank you for the good and the not so good. We thank you for every experience that we have, for we look forward to becoming closer and closer to you in those experiences. We thank you for our listening audience. And Lord, we pray that they are enriched and touched by the words of your readings. May those words touch them and motivate them and enliven their souls to be closer and closer to your Son, Jesus, and to you, Father. We thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service. We thank you for their volunteers and donors to make programs like this possible. And Lord, we thank you so very much for the families of our listening audience. May they be touched, Lord, by your grace and the beautiful world that you've given us, a gift, many gifts. So Sarah Young writes today, I speak to you from the deepest heaven. You hear me in the depths of your being, deep calls unto deep. You are blessed to hear me so directly. Never take this privilege for granted. The best response is a heart overflowing with gratitude. I am training you to cultivate a thankful mindset. This is like building a house on firm rock where life's storms cannot shake you. As you learn these lessons, you are to teach them to others. I will open the way before you one step at a time. Psalm 42, verse 7 teaches us, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 2 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And then Matthew 7, 24 through 25 reads, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had foundations on the rock. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Lord. And we will be beginning a new chapter of the Bible today. And that is the chapter of Matthew, the first gospel, the first book of the New Testament. We spent the last few months, reading the Psalms. And again, I hope you did enjoy those beautiful words and inspiring words. And as I take away Psalms, my takeaway was we should always be thankful. We should always be praising God. And there's some beautiful scripture, and I don't have the scripture at my fingertips right now, but it does read that we should always be joyful, and we should always be thankful, and we should always be praising the name of God. So I will make sure I have that for us next week, and I will give you the verse in the Bible and the exact reading. Never lose sight of that. We should always be praising God. We should always be happy and joyful, and we should always be thanking God. So Matthew. So as we normally do when we begin a new chapter, do a little introduction, and we'll do that now. So Matthew, the purpose of Matthew is to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the eternal King. The author's name was Matthew, and Matthew was a tax collector during Jesus' time, and he became a disciple of Jesus. The original audience was written for this book was written for the Jews. It was written about 60 AD. I'm going to read a little introduction to you. As the motorcade slowly winds through the city, thousands pack the sidewalks hoping to catch a glimpse. Marching bands with great fanfare announced the arrival, and protective agents scanned the crowd and run alongside the limousine. Pomp and ceremony, protocol, modern symbols of position and evidence of importance herald the arrival of the head of state. Whether they are leaders by birth or election, we honor and respect them. The Jews waited for a leader who had been promised centuries before by prophets. They believed that this leader, the Messiah, which means the Anointed One, would rescue them from the Roman oppressors and establish a new kingdom. As their king, he would rule over the world with justice. Many Jews, however, overlooked prophecies that also spoke of this king as a suffering servant who would be rejected and killed. It is no wonder, then, that few recognized Jesus as the Messiah. How could this humble carpenter's son from Nazareth be their king? But Jesus was and is the king of all the earth. Matthew was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Once he was a despised tax collector, but his life was changed by this man from Galilee. Matthew wrote this gospel to his fellow Jews to prove that Jesus is the Messiah and to explain God's kingdom. Matthew begins his account by giving Jesus' genealogy. He then tells of Jesus' birth and early years, including the family's escape to Egypt from the murderous Herod and their return to Nazareth. Following Jesus' baptism by John and his defeat of Satan in the desert, Jesus began his public ministry by calling his first disciples and giving the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew shows Christ's authority by reporting his miracles of healing the sick and the demon-possessed, and even raising the dead. Despite opposition from the Pharisees and the others in the religious establishment, Jesus continued to teach concerning the kingdom of heaven. During this time, Jesus spoke with his disciples about his imminent death and resurrection, and revealed his true identity to Peter, James, and John. Near the end of his ministry, Jesus entered Jerusalem in a triumphant procession. But soon opposition mounted, and Jesus knew that his death was near. So he taught his disciples about the future, what they could expect before his return, and how to live until then. In Matthew's finale, he focuses on Jesus' final days on earth, the Last Supper, his prayer in Gethsemane, the betrayal of Judas, by Judas, the flight of his disciples, Peter's denial, the trials before Caiaphas and Pilate, Jesus' final words on the cross, and his burial in a borrowed tomb. But the story does not end there, for the Messiah rose from the dead, conquering death, and then telling his followers to continue his work by making disciples of all nations. As we read this gospel, listen to Matthew's clear message. Jesus is the Christ, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Celebrate his victory over evil and death, and make Jesus Lord of your life, this day and every day. So let's begin. Chapter 1 of Matthew. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nishan, Nishan the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehobab, Rehobam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel the father of Abiud the father of Elikam the father of Azor the father of Zodak the father of Akim the father of Eliud the father of Elazar the father of Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Verse 18 picks up with the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But to you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went to live in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Chapter 3. In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heaven is near." This is he who has spoken through the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and the tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." That is a bold statement for a prophet. But here's John the Baptist talking to the rulers of the religious party and calling them a brood of vipers and telling them, if you don't produce fruit, you will be cut down. Verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all the righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, with whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Father." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee to the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem and Judea, and across the Jordan followed him. Chapter 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Beatitudes are really a very, very interesting writing, and it's one of the first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew. It's probably the fourth or fifth thing, but it's the first long thing that he said. But recently in a study that I'm doing, I'm doing a lot of Matthew this year. Actually, I've just finished, little diary of Matthew, and then we're studying it at church right now. And then in my Bible study this fall, we'll be starting to study Matthew. But one of the things I learned about the Beatitudes, it is basically the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. And the Magna Carta being, you know, the great chapter. This is what we should be all embracing. And, Jesus teaches us, you know, the greatest command is this, and it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. We learned that in Matthew. We learned that in Mark. We learned that, I think, in Deuteronomy. And how to do it is what the Beatitudes speaks about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And being blessed, if you're poor in spirit, you're humbled before the Lord. And that's what we're speaking about here is your humility before God. Blessed are those who mourn, those who have compassion on others. And then blessed are the meek. And it's not meek, weak. It's meek, just having a fortitude like Dr. Martin Luther King to do the right thing for people without violence. Just doing the right thing because it's the gospel thing to do. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And, you know, people should be longing for what is right. And the gospel teaches us what is right. And again, what is right is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love others like yourself. We should be merciful. If we are merciful, if we forgive others, the world's a better place. We're not holding things against people. There's dialogue. There's commune. And it teaches us that we will then also be shown mercy. God calls us to have a pure heart. he calls us to be peacemakers, and then he tells us, he warns us, that we will be persecuted because of righteousness. And when we are, there's a place for us in heaven. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus throws it down to the leaders of the faith, because they are more concerned about the ritual than they are about the heart. And Jesus wants us to have a pure heart, just like God's pure heart. You have heard that it has been said to the people long ago, do not murder, or anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary and who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid that last penny. So we're about halfway through chapter 5 of Matthew, and we're about out of time today. So we're going to pick up with verse 27 of chapter 5 next week. And there's several teachings here of Jesus. Jesus will teach us about lust, about divorce, about vows, about revenge, about loving our enemies. And I think it's too important to try to rush through. So we'll pick that up next week. I hope you've enjoyed our program today. We've run out of time for our episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next weekend. We hope you've enjoyed our program. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. So please, if you have any feedback for us, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. We'd love to hear from you. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day. Peace and God bless.